Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
Okay, everybody, it's time once again for another exciting episode of The Riot. I'm your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
And hopefully you've been enjoying our video podcasts, because we've had a lot of fun making them, Judo Larry.
Yes, and this is our fourth.
Fourth video one, and so far nobody's called the FCC on us. Nobody interested in net neutrality has come up to us to say, we demand that these internet packets do not go across at equal speeds. By the way, that's my impersonation of anyone from the South.
Okay.
But just so you know what I think of you people from the South.
Yes, but we are expecting to get complaints, especially after we start naming the episodes.
So. Yes, we'll do something.
Okay.
Joining us once again in the studio, we've got engineer Phil. Phil?
Oh.
Oh, what?
I'm here.
You're there?
I am.
Okay. See what happens when you pay a guy a couple of pennies a week?
See, we had to put that in because some of you tweeted that you didn't think Phil was real.
And yeah.
As you can
Phil's
see.
Real.
Phil's real.
Phil's real. Absolutely. Anyway, this is The Riot. Once again, let's start out with our favorite part of the show.
The big pimping.
Pimping!
Hungry bear.
Pimping!
There he is. I was a big Starsky and Hutch fan. There you go.
All right. You can always find us on YouTube.com. Just go to YouTube.thatriotshow.com, and you'll find the latest episodes, plus all the previous ones. You could always go to iTunes if you just want to listen. Go to iTunes.thatriotshow.com. You can always also go to Stitcher, Player FM, Spreaker, Pod-O-Matic, where Judo Larry M, we continue to be one of the top conservative talk shows on Podomatic. We hate being called conservatives. We're not conservatives.
We're conservatives.
Libertarians. But it's better than calling us either liberals or fags. Right. We'll take conservative as opposed to those two, but we prefer libertarians.
Yeah, and we don't prefer Democrats or socialists either.
Yeah, we hate all of those things.
All right.
Anyway, so you can catch us on that. Once again, we'll be mentioning that we'll be coming very soon to Kronos TV. That's currently being built out. Once that's live, we'll only have highlights on YouTube. Right now, we put full episodes on YouTube just to build a little bit of buzz, Judo Larry.
Buzz, yeah.
Yeah. And we must be pulling a lot of buzz because when you go to our Twitter account at twitter.com/thatriotshow, right? You can go there. Or you can even go to facebook.com/thatriotshow. Larry?
Awesome.
Right here?
Freaking
facebook.com. /thatriotshow. Okay. But when you go to twitter.com, you know how I know we're successful, Larry?
How do we know this?
We have been officially blocked by the Dean of Comedy, Dean Obadala.
Douche.
Yes. Now, let me get something straight for those of you that think we might be haters or stuff. We went to college with this.
With this person.
Yes. And person, you know, used very generally.
Yes. Figuratively.
Now, this apologist for savages the world over put up with us for a long time because he thought he was smarter than us and or funnier than us. Larry, wrong on two counts.
On every
count. Yes. So anyway, apparently he got a little bit upset when I compared his hack comedy routine to Kevin Meaney. Of all people, Kevin Meaney. But anyway, by the way, I didn't compare him to Kevin Meaney. I said Kevin Meaney was much funnier than Dean Obadala.
There you go.
Then again, that fan is bigger than Dean Obadala's comedy.
The only galling part about it is that he gets to be on like television. I've seen him like on MSNBC. He writes for CNN now.
Yeah.
How the hell did he pull all this off?
And he's on Sirius. He's back where we used to be.
Oh, that's right.
He's got his own show on Sirius. Yeah, which, by the way, I encourage all of you to go listen to a show on Sirius, where you will be treated to a nonstop, whatever it is, 2-3 hour barrage of various defenses of Palestinians, Libyans, Iranians, Iraqis, basically any Muslim you could think of. And he even has the very innovative Islamophobe of the Week.
Right. A lot of his arguments just come down to who's a racist.
Right. Because in the U.S., that's really one of our raging problems right now. Yeah. Islamophobia. Yeah. See, I also think he didn't appreciate it, Larry. When he asked for Islamophobes of the Week, I would call in the show and tell his screener that I nominate the wives of all those Christians that were beheaded by ISIS. Because, you know, they're really afraid of Islam. That's what Islamophobe means, by the way, fear of Islam.
Yeah. He used to do his comedy routine, the Axis of Evil, or something like that. And I saw it, I was like...
By the way, say that again?
Axis of Evil.
No, no, he did his what?
Comedy show.
Comedy. Yes.
Yeah, the Axis of Evil, and this was, like, enormously unfunny. And I went to see him one time, and, I mean, the audience was, I mean, I guess you would say... but people were of Arab American extract who wanted to tune in and see it. And there was like a lot of forced laughter. Like you can see, like it wasn't really that funny, and everybody was like really just like.
They were supporting their boy, basically, is what it comes down to.
But he's blocked us, is that,
officially. I can't even look at his stupid tweets if I wanted to make fun of them some more. You know what that means? I have to sign up under a false account, read his tweets, and then make fun of them in absentia.
Oh, that's right. You can do that. my brother does that on Facebook. He like binds people. And he's like a
so in addition to being banned by John Fugelsang.
That's right. The first guy who banned us.
Who lost his mind over our bothering of him on Twitter.
That was great.
Hence leading to the term, you've been Fugelsang. And that has nothing to do with your lower intestine, I assure you, Judo Larry.
I don't know why these people waste their time trying to argue with you. I've never seen a more fucking bulldog than you. Put up a bulldog, wait, with like eating something.
Phil, can you put up a bulldog, please?
Right there. You know what you do? Put up just any picture of a dog biting somebody's ass.
There you go.
John is like, and I've seen this because I don't tweet. But the few times I've been on it, and like you see, like these stupid tweets and John, blah, 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 and they say something, blah, 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 and then like you're out of your mind. You can see that
there's nothing
slowly driving them crazy.
There's nothing better than a liberal losing his mind or her mind because they totally abandon everything they stand for.
Yeah.
Oh, we stand for civilized debate and the thinking man's culture and this and that, and like just go on there once or twice and claim that a woman's role is to be in the kitchen barefoot and naked. It drives them off their fucking rocker. And, of course, they're humorless, all of them.
Yes.
Okay, Judah Larry, and what would you say? Top three humorless fucks in all of America.
Nancy Pelosi.
Okay, so we'll throw that under feminist twats.
Okay.
Another category.
Rachel Maddow.
Lesbians.
and Hillary. Hillary's got no sense of humor.
We already said lesbians.
Oh, okay.
Allegedly.
That's a legend. Yes. Hillary's just somebody I know. We're not talking about the Hillary.
Allegedly, even for the Hillary he allegedly knows.
Yes.
Allegedly. Our lawyers have said to us to use the word allegedly a lot.
Yeah, this is a part of the law that I don't understand. So.
Yes. No. But the third group is born-again Christians.
You know. Oh, yeah.
So you've got liberal twats, lesbians, born-again Christians.
And the religious right.
Yeah. The most humorless fucks on the planet. If they thought it was a joke, then they would say it's not funny, so it's not a joke. Right? Isn't that the usual response for something like that?
You know what it is? I've noticed is a tendency, just everything is serious.
Right.
So the moment you say something they don't like,
right,
that justifies them like just going off on it, engaging in a lot of idiotic name calling.
Right.
So you get that. And that's why you can see it in his tweets. Now, John doesn't tweet with the evangelicals. He tweets with liberals. But it's basically the same mentality. Just, you know, they have no sense of humor, especially about themselves.
And the only reason I don't tweet with evangelicals is because they think Satan is in Twitter. They don't think Jesus is in the Twitter yet.
Have you gotten any devil comments?
No devil comments, I have to admit. I have been called a sexist, racist, what else have I been called? Misanthrope, misogynist.
Asshole.
Yes, Phil, asshole also goes
fascist,
in there.
Fascist. The usual.
Yes. And by the way, the second you start calling me that, I've won.
That's right.
Trust me, I've won the second you resort to that shit. But anyway, so follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thatriotshow. You'll get a good laugh. But best of all, just watch the show. We appreciate all of you watching. Even those of you that are still, after warning you last week, are still disturbed by cotton picks.
Yes.
Why are you disturbed by cotton
picks? We will not stop this. Unless we're forced to. We are not. There you go. Yeah, baby.
By the way, relax. It's not a real cock. You see? Just like those of you last week that were upset that someone called the Black Widow a slut. She's a comic book character. Chill out.
Oh, that's right.
There's nobody who got her feelings hurt by being called a slut. You fucking morons. Yeah. Relax, okay? Take it easy for once.
I don't think Scarlett Johansson was damaged by that. So
no, not at all.
She's, move on.
Yeah. I doubt her sex life is going to suffer because you called her a slut one way or another. All right? Anyway, let's talk Judo Larry now, moving on to some serious topics. Probably the thing that's top of mind this week, the Baltimore riots.
Yeah, just within the past couple of hours.
Yeah.
From the taping of this show, six cops have been indicted in Baltimore. There's various charges, but they're saying now that it's a homicide.
Yeah, I didn't say anything last week about this, to be honest with you, because I still hadn't heard all the facts. I didn't want to weigh in on it necessarily, but you look at it now, and I think it's pretty clear what happened. Look, Freddie Gray, what was he, a drug dealer?
Allegedly
a drug dealer. And he had a couple of arrests on his record. Here is my speculation as to what happened, Larry.
Right.
The cops saw him. They started to roust him. He gave them shit.
Well, he ran at first.
He ran at first.
They chased him.
They roused him, right?
Yeah.
They gave him shit. They threw him in the back of a van. He continued to give them shit. So they pulled over probably and tuned him up a little bit. And because he was handcuffed and leg cuffed, he ended up with a broken neck, was it, or a severed spine?
He wound up with a severed spine, but yeah, they also found out that there was a bolt in that, part of the cage or in the back. There was like literally like in the
indented in the back of his head, and it matched the bolt of the van. So
you know, and they tried to work the argument, and I mean, I guess this still could be true, that he was like bashing his head against like the cage screen.
By then, we're talking about the cops.
Yeah, and that he did this, and that it was self-inflicted.
Yeah.
But at this point...
Yeah, it really looks like...
Well, it looks like...
The fucking killed the kid.
We do know that they pulled over, maybe once or twice at least. So we know that probably what happened was he was probably kicking, screaming and cursing, and he wouldn't calm down. And I think John is right. I think they pulled over and they decided like to smack him around a little bit. And unfortunately, as the case may be, you might get carried away with that. Or you might even just be, you know, not that this is okay, but they might have been beating him, like, just to shut him up and, you know.
Yeah.
You never know what happened, but at any rate, it did result in his dying.
Yeah. And again, just to be clear, just because this kid was probably a piece of shit, I don't know, but given his arrest record and what other people are saying about him, I'm sure he wasn't a fine, upstanding citizen. That having been said, there's no reason why he should have died in police custody, from what I understand. He wasn't armed. I don't think he was a physical threat. I saw pictures of him. He wasn't like a big hulking guy that six cops would be afraid of. And from what I've heard, and again, this is preliminary, the cops did try to hide what actually happened.
You know, like,
for example, they didn't initially report that they had made that extra stop along the van route. So the van probably picked up a couple of people along the way, suspects. And they made an extra stop that initially the cops never mentioned during their initial interviews about the situation.
They didn't help themselves also.
Yeah.
They said that they never called for medical attention.
That was
so let's say that this, you know, the initial argument, there was an article in the Washington Post saying that they were self-inflicted. Well, you know what, if he injured himself and he's, you know, he's bleeding or whatever, well, you should have gotten him some help.
Absolutely.
Because that just looks fishy. It just looks like they beat him up. And they figured, he'll eventually get past it. We'll just arrest him and book him and put him
in the system. Probably didn't realize how injured he was initially. And, well, whatever. There's no excusing this on the part of the cops. And this sort of thing always puts me, and I think Larry as well, in a weird position. Like, we are not anti-cop. Let me say that. We're not anti-cops.
Not at all.
I'm perhaps a little bit more anti-police tactics right now. I do think the cops have gotten a little bit too mighty for their own good.
Too aggressive?
Too aggressive, too thinking they themselves are above the law.
Right.
Now, I don't think it's racially motivated. I don't think there's cops, black or white or anything in between, that wake up on a given morning and say, how can I fuck over the life of black guys? I don't think any cop in this country,
well,
or any reasonable majority of cops wake up with that intent. I think it is driven by poverty. I think it is driven by crime. You know, let's not forget, there's crime involved here. None of these guys were innocent in the sense that they were just, you know, grade A college students who were rousted for no reason.
It's a vicious cycle.
It is.
You have poor education. You have zero opportunities, by and large. You have, like, a community in Baltimore, I think they said, as of just a couple of years ago, the unemployment rate for blacks was 37%.
Thank you, minimum wage.
You know, and look, you can blame whatever you want. You can talk about the cops. You can talk about racism. You are talking about a city of Baltimore that has had a Democratic mayor since 1967. Okay, there have been Democratic governors and presidents. What is going on in this city that billions of dollars have been spent to lift up the poor and pour it into education and
much like Detroit.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the perfect like analogy. Detroit. Baltimore is going the way of Detroit. I'm famous for watching my documentaries. I love. I watched one by National Geographic did on Detroit, and to see what it was and to see what it became. You cannot conclude that that doesn't at least have, in part, something to do with all the money spent by the government, and it made nothing better. And the car industry, you know, and now it's a mess. I mean, blocks, it looks like a scene from Escape from New York, for God's sake. In Baltimore, where we have been, this, by and large, this city is, I don't know, it's like hanging on a thread economically. And what do they do for the people in this town? The education is terrible, opportunities terrible. And look, you know what happens when you have a situation like that? Your young people are going to fall through the cracks of society. And in every country, you know who's waiting for you when you fall through the cracks of society? The police. And you're going to have run-ins with the police. And look, a lot of, let's face it. Right now, a lot of black people in this country really hate the cops. They really do. And any interaction with them, very vulgar, very violent, very confrontational, right off the bat. They don't want them in their face. And, you know, that's why all these things, you see this just constant pattern of violence and fighting. I mean, look, nobody wants to see the police, like when Eric Garner got choked out. Nobody wants to see them killing people and roughing people up. But part of the problem is, you know, on top of everything else, even violence against police is up something like 27% in the past, like, 10 years. Just people just being violent with the play, like that.
So yeah, there is a jump. Listen, there's a lot of uncomfortable realities, in my opinion, here that people aren't addressing honestly, okay? So, reality number one. In the black community, there is an escalation to violence, I think, much sooner than in other communities. In other words, and listen, I know there's going to be a lot of you out there that say, oh, that's the media's portrayal of it. Right? If the media portrayed, say, Asian ghettos or Latino ghettos or Italian ghettos or Greek ghettos the way they do the black ghettos, you would see the same thing. It's not the case statistically, okay?
No.
So there has to be something else at work here. Now, at the same time, you also have to accept the reality, if you're like a Republican or a conservative or a law and order dude, that the cops are taking liberties. They are. I don't think their intent is to kill anyone. But they are like we said, maybe they want to tune the guy out because he wouldn't shut the fuck up, or he was kicking and screaming, or he was trying, maybe he was trying to, like, injure himself, not kill himself, but maybe, like, injure himself to fake police abuse. Shit, we know that happens, where, like, a prisoner, if he bangs his head and gets a bruise on his forehead, he could claim that the cops did that to him.
Yeah.
Okay? Certainly that happens as well.
I think a lot of the cops also fall into the trap that they you know, as part of doing their job, especially in tough neighborhoods, they have to prove that they're not going to take any shit. And, you know, what happens then is you fall into the trap that if somebody mouths off to you, Like your initial instinct comes to shut them up.
You can't let someone step up to you.
Exactly, especially if they're doing it in front of a lot of other people.
Yeah.
A lot of other like punks, or you have to stand your ground and you have to show them like who's in charge. And then, unfortunately, that can definitely lead to
violence. Yeah, and to you guys on Facebook, because I've had this conversation with a lot of our listeners and viewers on Facebook, the question is, like, if you say something like this, you're automatically branded racist, as if I'm saying blacks are inherently more violent than non-blacks. That's not what I'm saying. There is a cycle of violence. There's a cycle of poverty. There's a cycle of failed governmental policies that have all conspired ever since World War II, ever since the New Deal, made worse by the Great Society and the War on Poverty, okay? Listen, you don't have to believe me. Go read Thomas Sowell. Go read Walter Williams. Read Milton Friedman. Read any economist who has studied this sort of thing.
Charles Murray.
Yes. The black man, believe it or not, was better off in the 30s economically than he is today. Even after all the billions of dollars that have been poured into welfare programs and relief programs, the reason is because they're fostering two things, these programs. Dependency on the government, and it's not solely an African-American issue, but it is prevalent in that community.
Well, it affects them disproportionately.
Yeah, and the horrible governmental policies like public education, public schools, minimum wage laws. That's not a goof, by the way. Minimum wage laws have injured African-American teenagers the most. And if you go back and look at the sponsors of the law, that way back 100 years ago almost, their stated intent for the minimum wage was to give minority children an opportunity to earn some money.
Right.
Okay? But it just goes to show you that when you fuck with the mechanics of the free market, this is what happens. Okay? So, but not to get too much off topic, in Baltimore, you've had a democratically run city that is largely African-American in population. It's not a case of whitey keeping the black man down in Baltimore. Right now in Baltimore, you have a black mayor, female, a black police chief, and a black state's attorney, also female. Okay? So the power structure there, at least at the very top, is not overtly racist. Let me put it that way. All right? Because I've heard some hardcore folks say they're Uncle Tom's, or whatever the female equivalent of Uncle Tom's.
Well,
I don't know. What is that? Aunt Thomasina? I have no idea. Whatever the fuck. You've already got hardcore. So that's one problem. The second problem is that you have a conflation of rioters and protesters. Right? So the running joke, and it's a sad joke, is when you stop one of those guys running out of CVS in Baltimore with all their free stuff that they happen to run across, half of them don't know who Freddie Gray was.
Right.
Okay? They literally just see an opportunity to riot and to loot.
Right.
That does not help any cause. Think about it. It doesn't help Freddie Gray and his parents, and it certainly doesn't help the community where you now empower racist assholes to say, see, that's what they are. They're animals. Look at them.
And you saw the same thing in Ferguson.
Same thing in Ferguson.
And that's the problem with what we talk about in the show, about all the professional protesters and
professional agitators,
groups like the Revolutionary Communist Party USA that literally bus people in. Their entire program, it's just they go places where they're like things like this happen, and just to fight with cops. This is it. This is all part of their overthrowing the government. And what you're seeing is there are peaceful protests. The local congressman down there, Elijah Cummings or whatever, he had another protest, totally peaceful, just people marching, and that has to be separated, in fairness to them, that has to be separated from these idiots who are stealing from CVS, breaking windows, or smashing McDonald's windows.
Burning cars and stuff.
And which brings us into kind of our next topic. President Obama referred to them as thugs.
Right.
And other people have been referring to them as thugs.
Right.
And from our favorite people in the politically correct left, you know, in their constant crusade to wipe words out of the English language that they don't approve of, we have from NPR, an academic was on speaking about, his name is John McWhorter. And with regards to thug, he said, well, the truth is that thug is a nominally polite way of using the N-word. Many people suspect it, and they are correct. It is a sly way of saying, there go those black people ruining everything again. And then, to pile on this, MSNBC's Alex Wagner, also, the other night she was on with two people, one person from Salon.com, Brittany Cooper, and from The Nation, Ari Berman, and they were talking about the use of the word thug, and that it's really code language for nigger.
Yeah, but that's something like that.
Yeah,
that's a tactic of the left now, to be honest with you, and it's horseshit, which is... We talked about it in the case of Hillary. Her handler saying you can't use sexist words. And by the way, here's a list of 40 things you can't call Hillary because they are, in fact, sexist, right? This is part of the overall problem of language policing of the left. Thug does not equal nigger. And by the way, when you say thug doesn't equal the N-word, what you're saying is nigger, okay? So let's be blunt. You're claiming that thug equals nigger. Thug equals nigger, right? Say it. If you have the balls to say it, Alex Wagner or whoever, yeah. Say it. Say what you mean. Don't try to censor everybody else, all right? The point is that the reason we have code words, according to you, is because you don't let anybody else say what's on their mind without jumping on them and attempting to ban words, okay? That's the first thing on my soapbox. The second thing is, just because somebody, look, white kids are called thugs just as often as black kids. The problem is, or the issue is, you don't have white leaders who come out and try to justify bullshit behavior when it's a bunch of white kids. They're called criminals, they're called thugs, they're called rioters, and it's left at that.
Also, nobody cares.
Well, if you call a bunch of white kids. To the extent, yeah.
If you call a bunch of white kids tomorrow, like a bunch of thugs and hoodlums, everybody's like, they're thugs and they're hoodlums. But yeah. See, but their argument is that this is just simple code language, and we know what you mean. Meanwhile, on top of that, though, Obama called them thugs, and to his credit, he didn't take it back. They questioned him.
I'm not a fan of Obama's, but in this case,
all.
He did the right thing.
Yep.
Not because it's a code word, but he used a word to describe the activity that was going on. And well, like we said, listen, New York, for all its failings, New York City, where we're broadcasting from. When people protest here, they've pretty much got it down to a science.
Yeah.
There's always a few arrests at these things, but it's usually for disorderly conduct, blocking traffic, things like that.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time there was large-scale looting in New York, breaking of windows. I think maybe the blackout of 77 was probably the last one, and that was a blackout type of thing. During the Eric Gardner thing where, you know, that black gentleman who was choked out by cops while he was selling Lucy's on the street.
Right.
When that didn't get an indictment, which there should have been an indictment, there was nothing set on fire. There were no assaults. There was no looting. Protesters shut down the city. Let's be clear. They shut down the city. They showed up. They made traffic a fucking mess. And, you know, I'm mumbling under my breath. Phil, you had trouble? Phil?
Oh, yeah.
Using the car?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bridges were shut down.
Yeah, everything. I don't know. Can we hear Phil back there?
I hope so.
What'd you say, Phil?
Bridges were shut down.
They were shut down. You hear that? Shut down. But Phil
and
wasn't...
That's not a shot at Christie.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But guess what? Phil wasn't afraid for his life during those protests.
Yeah.
All right? For whatever reason, New York City has the protest thing, Larry, I think, down.
If you even remember the L.A. riots back then, they were afraid that that was just going to spread, especially to
New York City. Yeah.
There were some of those like protests, like sympathy protests, like that kind of thing. People took to the street. Yeah. But I mean, I remember going around the street. No looting, no destroying.
So in Baltimore, you have, and it's not just Baltimore. You saw it in Ferguson, you know, Detroit to some extent. Is like these, by the way, these are bastions of democratic policies and liberal policies, okay?
Absolutely.
These are not redneck back areas that are still run by Bull Connor or something.
Right.
And for you kids that don't get the reference, do yourself a favor. Go to Wikipedia, look up Bull Connor, okay? And you'll know what I mean, okay?
Right.
Bull Connor.
Hey, Bull.
Okay? So, anyway, my point being is that you can't blame this, as I've seen, as this being a confluence of conservative, religious policies, okay? I heard one guy say, well, what do you expect happens when cops don't live in the city they police? And what happens when people have no choice but to deal with exploitative businesses? And what happens when you're there with numbing agents like alcohol and crack? Listen, those are excuses, okay? You know what exploitive businesses are? Businesses that force you to do business with them, okay? Oh, by the way, what's something like that? Obamacare is exploitative. Because they put a gun to your head and they say, if you don't buy this, you're either going to get a fine or go to jail. All right? That's exploitative. A payday loan shark, for the sake of argument, that says, I'll give you a payday loan at 20% interest, that guy's a cocksucker, but it's not exploitative because he's not forcing you to do anything.
No.
You choose to go pay those outrageous rates, okay? For whatever reason, all right? That's not exploitative, okay? It's shitty, but it's not exploitative. So use the right words. The second thing is, nobody, again, is forcing you to get a bottle of Ripple, Larry, and fucking drink it, or vodka, or whiskey, or whatever the fuck it is that you claim, or crack, okay?
Yeah.
Unless, again, someone is shooting you up or pouring it down your gullet, that is forced behavior and numbing of the populace.
And you're going to have a problem with this because there are too many people in the community who absolutely believe that all the business is there just to exploit them and take advantage of them. I saw one guy last night, black guy on Fox News. They were talking to him in the street, and they asked him about the next to the CVS. I think there was a check cashing place.
Yeah, right.
And they asked him about it, and he goes, look, this place is here just to exploit people because they can't get, the banks won't give them savings account and checking account. So they have to take their paycheck and they got to go here. But they take like 5% or 10%, yeah, whatever they take. They're just stealing from people. And I was like, look, first off, I've never heard of anybody in my life who can't get a savings account or a checking account.
If you don't have a permanent address or something like that,
your situation would have to be so extreme,
yeah,
that they would turn you down. Because usually, at least even just like a basic checking account, almost anybody will give you that.
Yeah, and but that's not even the issue.
But it is, because what he was talking about is every business there was taking advantage of the community. And since they're taking advantage of the community, they had no sympathy for them. In other words, he was almost arguing they deserve to be attacked because they're taking advantage of the community, and this is all the anger and the frustration about it, and it just spilled out.
Yeah.
And I mean, but this is obviously nonsense, but
yeah.
I mean, this is the attitude that you have, you know, and like, look, I'm wearing a shirt that says enjoy capitalism. I don't know if you can see this. The big problem for a lot of the minority communities around the country is they are not part of this system. They're not. They're part of the government program system. They're part of the government dependency system. They're not part of the system. When you talk about
capitalist system,
if you look at the black communities around the country, the poverty, they're completely dependent on government. They really are. You have a 12% of the population where the majority of them are just dependent on government handouts or programs. It's doing nothing for them, and nobody's training them or educating to get them in the system. And all they talk about is, well, it's for white people. White people are in the system, you know, that's...
And when you say system, it might be a little bit confusing. I think
capitalism,
entrepreneurship, yeah. So, but he's right. Larry's absolutely right. The level of dependency and of the nanny state, you know, what people forget is this is what it engenders. It engenders Detroit, Ferguson, Baltimore, a lot of other failing localities. Are the only failing localities based on liberal politics? Probably not, okay? But you have a greater shot of that, because when all you're doing is taking, when all you're doing is consuming, much like any Keynesian economist, when you only look at the spend side of things, this is what you fall into. So you have to always keep in mind. Now, Baltimore, 6 cops indicted. Great. There should be indictments. We'll wait for the trial. But absolutely, there should be indictments. Should they move the trial out of Baltimore? I heard like some of the cop unions say
they won't get a fair trial.
They won't get a fair trial. They need a neutral venue. I don't know. I let judges work that out, to be honest with you. I'm not here. I'm not a judge. I'm not a lawyer.
But it's going to be interesting to see if all the protesters and the rioters and the people on the left, if they're going to be satisfied with that, because look, our system is so that this gets properly adjudicated, but they by and large are not trusting.
No, but also,
And look, well, not government, but look, if they get off,
yeah,
or if they get like a slap on the wrist,
what will happen?
You know, what's going to happen? Like, all they're going to do is take their street again and just say, look how corrupt the system is, and the cops never get.
I mean, that's what happened in Ferguson, right?
But this is what's got to. This is what's got to change. This dynamic has to change. Like another guy I saw last night was complaining about, you know, the cops never get into trouble. No, which I realize that a lot of them don't. But then he like started rambling on about Donald Rumsfeld and troops doing whatever they want over there. Why don't we call them thugs? Like, it's this like weird connection to.
Well, I was going to say that's, and again, that ties into the earlier thing that. Situations like this are not just the protest about Freddie Gray. It now becomes Freddie Gray is the catalyst for every other grievance you had, like the guy who came out and said about, you know, a requirement should be that cops live in the city they police. They need to own their, the community needs to own their own business. So if you don't live in the community, you shouldn't be able to own a business. These are people who are now talking about writing laws as to where and when people can open a business. That's fucked up.
No.
That's literally socialism and communism.
That's not going to work.
Okay, that doesn't work. That makes things worse. I don't know why people think it'll make it better. It won't make it better. It'll make it worse. Okay? And just to segue, Larry, a little bit, that idiot Michael Moore, as the result of all this, I had a fun time on his Twitter line, by the way.
Talk about a liberal who doesn't get it.
That fat, talentless fuck. You know, what was that tweet he said? He goes, I demand that all...
He wants all African Americans convicted of drug crimes or nonviolent crimes released from prison.
Yeah.
Also, at the same time, he wants all the police disarmed.
Yes.
So now we're going to have a police force with no weapons.
Right.
We're going to let what he considers to be low-level criminals just out.
Of color.
Which, of course, I don't know what that accomplishes. What are they? They're all going to get straight jobs the moment they come out. I mean,
so. That fat fuck. I tweeted him, and honestly, he hasn't replied yet. But when he said, I demand that all African Americans convicted of drug crimes be freed, I put out, I demand talentless fucks who keep growing every year to leave the country. But that isn't happening either. Yeah. So Michael Moore's an asshole, and I just thought I'd bring that up. Oh, by the way, did you notice that all of a sudden he's pro Second Amendment? That his His justification for disarming the cops is that citizens have enough guns to protect themselves then.
Yeah, so he seems to feel that most Americans have guns and you can just protect yourselves.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was tongue-in-cheek when he said it, because I only read it. He may have been trying to be a wise-ass, but, I mean, for somebody who actually made a movie about all this, and he talked about how he was a member of the NRA once and he grew up with guns in Michigan, now he's like Mr. Anti-Gun out there, but... He can't be serious. Just let people out of jail.
I wonder if he has
disarm the cops. What's that guy accomplish?
Yeah, I just wonder if he has some sort of mental illness.
He could.
I don't know. You don't know.
Thinks the healthcare system in Cuba is the greatest thing in the world might prove he's nuts.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. But anyway, so it's this mentality. You see what I'm saying? It's the Freddie Gray. Tragedy means disarm cops. And by no means am I suggesting that he's he's not the mouthpiece for every liberal. I get it. But the truth of the matter is there are a lot of these type of people running around. Celebrities, typically people with a pulpit and a soapbox that they can get up on.
Look at all the people seeing movies. Yeah, I mean, like Fahrenheit 9-1-1, whatever, that did very well.
Which, by the way, most of his movies...
Love Affair, and they're all horrible.
They're all staged, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot of people think those were like cinema verite, where you're just literally capturing the moment.
No,
shit was set up and edited to make people look bad, believe me, okay?
The other problem with his movies, very quickly, is what he's really doing is just cherry-picking anecdotal information.
Yeah,
and he just clunches them all together to draw a conclusion. I mean, anybody, John and I could do that. And quite honestly, we can make our point of view look great. We can make people disagree with us, like Dean, look like morons if we really put our minds to it. I mean,
let history do that.
Yes. Or Twitter.
Yeah, socialism's track record isn't that. And I tell you, Larry, this is one of those things that amazes me about liberals. It's like, granted, capitalism is not perfect. We all understand that. But the history of capitalism is stellar compared to anything else you could pick. Whether you could pick it to monarchies, dictatorships,
mercantilism,
whatever, colonialism, whatever. As an economic system, nothing else has worked. Not socialism, not communism, nothing. And if you throw in the aspect of, like, freedom, like, if you give a shit about liberty and freedom, then nothing holds a light to capitalism. Right. Nothing at all.
Even take it out of the American experience. Right now, capitalism is lifting people out of poverty. In India, China, that conservative, Dinesh D'Souza, he's always talking about how his native country, India, is benefiting from capitalism, that it's just, he said something like hundreds of millions of people are getting out of poverty and getting into what over there, what's considered the middle class. But yet still, we're still hearing about like socialism and the nanny state.
And you know who we're hearing from about socialism and things like that, Doodle Larry?
Yes.
Hungarian assholes.
Oh my God, there he is.
Hungarian assholes. He must have the brain of goulash or something. I don't know this fuck. In case you don't know who that jerk off is, it's George Soros, one of maybe the top five or six richest, wealthiest people on the planet.
Yeah.
By the way, this guy is a stark raving leftist socialist out to destroy the capitalist system, eat the rich, okay? Yeah. Now, it's always amazing to me how someone who's worth literally billions, with a B, billions of dollars, can complain about the wealthy not paying their fair share. Again, I'll say this till I'm blue in the face. I said it last week, Judah Larry. No. You don't have to wait for the government to take your money. You can give it away if you want. When you pay your taxes, if you feel the government isn't doing enough by taking half of it, you can give the rest of it to them. You just check off a little box that says, I am adding this much more. It's on every tax return in the United States.
No.
For some reason, George Soros hasn't given away his billions. And guess what else? According to, what was it, the Bloomberg, I believe.
Yep, Bloomberg.
Quoted. Go ahead, read
now, it. They projected that he's worth, actually, I don't know if this is true, but they projected he might be worth $13 billion or some crazy amount. But they're saying his tax bill is upwards in the area of $7 billion.
And $7 billion.
Now you realize now this is a guy, and I've seen him on shows, I've seen him in interviews, talking about how rich people have got to pay their tax, they've got to pay more, and what's the problem with it? And here he is, he has not been paying, and what he did is he took his clients' fees, and
he runs a hedge fund,
and he reinvested them in his funds. Okay, and in 2008, though, the Congress closed this loophole, but apparently up until that point, he'd been doing this just regularly.
Now, by the way, Larry's right. He deferred paying taxes. Perfectly legal.
Yeah, that was allowed.
No one is claiming that he did anything illegal.
Up until they closed it.
Right.
He can do it.
And then after they closed it, he just decided to offshore his money.
Right.
Which is also legal, but apparently, but liberals like him have a problem with it when Apple does it.
Right.
Or when Microsoft does it. When George Soros does it, because he's a fucking leftist asshole, it seems to be somehow...
it's acceptable.
It's acceptable. It's right. It's more sympathetic.
He's not viewed as a hypocrite.
Why? Know. He's a fucking hypocrite. This guy started a group called Media Matters for America. You know what their sole purpose, their sole function, these assholes at MMFA is? It's to shit on Fox News. That's all they do.
Yeah, that's all
they have like a whole gaggle of little whiny bitches, and by bitches I mean male and female, who sit there, watch Fox News, read Fox News articles, read their blogs. They will wait for like the most nitpicky of bullshit and pounce on it.
And pounce on it.
And this is why Fox News is shit. I don't particularly care for Fox News, okay? I think they go over the top, whatever, whatever. But I don't necessarily view them as being any worse than CNN, MSNBC, fuck, not worse than MSNBC, CBS, NBC, or ABC, okay? They're all in the same fucking boat. It just depends which side of the political aisle they fall on.
Yeah.
But when you go, do yourselves a favor. Go to twitter.com/MMFA. M as in Mary. MMFA, okay? Read their fucking tweets and articles that they post. You'll see something like this. Fox News anchor claims that climate change isn't happening. Most ridiculous scientific point ever? All right? Or they claim that every Republican that goes on Fox is a closet racist because they use words like thug or you know, or criminal or something like that, okay? So the only reason I bring up MFA, by the way, MMFA reminds me of these little bitches that always got beat up in school, like in high school. Like they'd walk up to you and say, like, your shirt is untucked, your shirt is untucked, your shirt is untucked, Mrs. Smith.
Smack.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, but anyway, so, but the only reason I bring them up is to give you a true picture of what this guy Soros operates as, okay? So this type of thing, where you have somebody pontificating against not paying enough, not doing your fair share, the wealthy suck, Americans, you know, like the whole nine yards, for him to owe nearly $7 billion in back taxes. Oh, they also said they don't think he's paid up his Obamacare contributions either, which is, you know, according to the article. So when you add all this up, this is just as, if not more delicious than when, say, a Republican gets caught eating out a hooker's ass on film.
Do we have any footage on it?
Eating ass on film. Larry, slap that a little bit over there. Nice. You knew we had to work some pussy into this somehow.
We couldn't stay serious the entire time.
That was way too long. My head started to hurt.
Yeah, but George Soros, you're a hypocrite.
And in memory of one of the greatest social commentators ever, Larry, let's give him one of these. George Soros, fuck you. And if you don't know who we're talking about, look up
Al Goldstein.
One of the pioneers in journalism, ladies and gentlemen.
And a defender of the First Amendment.
Absolutely.
And speaking of...
By the way, a piece of shit is a human being.
Yeah, no, but his son disowned the whole court where he was alive, but anyway.
Al Goldstein, look him up, but a true defender of the First Amendment. What you got, Larry?
Speaking of the same type of person...
And pieces of shit.
A piece of shit, but also claims he cares about the First Amendment. Yeah. Larry Flint has endorsed Hillary Clinton.
By nice! Why?
Because he's very concerned that the Supreme Court is too conservative.
Okay.
And the main reason he stated he wants to get Hillary in there so she can appoint judges who will be more to the left and more to his liking. Now, I mean, I don't even begin to understand this guy. I mean, this guy has so much money and he's made so much money off. Oh please,
yeah,
off porn and oh please, he's huge, he's rich, and to claim that the Supreme Court, the conservative Supreme Court, has been. What have they been doing against porn? It's everywhere. Well, it's on the show, for God's sake. He's not being clamped down. I mean, look, I could understand if there was like a serious attempt. There was like a small minor attempt when he got into that brawl with Jerry Falwell back in like the 80s.
Jerry Falwell and also the Mies Commission in the 80s. He's fighting a 40-year-old battle.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't exist anymore. Who the hell's going after porn? A couple of religious leaders?
But honestly, that's fine. Let him support Hillary. I don't give a shit, to be honest with you. But it is funny to me that, you know, like, even now we're still fighting these First Amendment issues. And it's not just assholes like Larry Flint who feel that they're, and they are being attacked in some cases, right? But again, it's more the people who want this political correctness in the name of saving the children, in the name of being nice, in the name of not being offensive, okay? And as I've said before, to all of you that say, why do I curse so much? Why do I use such foul language? It's to remind myself and you of the importance of the First Amendment. Okay, it sounds a little hacky on my part, but fuck, man. The First Amendment is what separates us from savages. And by savages, I mean Muslims and ISIS.
And the looters in Baltimore.
Well, yeah. Yeah, no, the looters, you said, right?
Looters.
Yeah, those are guys are savages, too. Yeah. But my point is that speech is what separates us from the other morons, okay? When you go to a country that's got Sharia law, you say the wrong thing, they cut your tongue out, then shove it up your ass and throw you off a building.
Yeah.
Okay? If a woman claims she was raped, unless there's four other male witnesses, they chop her clit off, then they stone her to death just to make sure. Okay? All that arises from the lack of free speech. And personally, Larry, the lack of interracial porn.
There it is.
And that's for you in the South, just so you know you get riled up this week.
And most people in the Middle East can't see this because the internet is banned in Iran and a lot of other countries, North Korea.
I'm convinced if we could just somehow forcibly airdrop porn into these godforsaken countries, we'd all have peace in our time, Larry.
We could.
Yeah.
I mean, there are many ways to defeat the enemy, and one of which has always been to infect them with our brilliant culture.
Porn.
You know, like you said last week, jeans and coke defeated the communists.
But that's because the communists already had porn on their own. Jesus, have you seen some of this Russian porn or Russian daredevils? These kids are fucking out of their minds. Like, look at this. They're just like hanging off of skyscrapers and doing, you know why? Because they're bored. They have nothing to do in that fucking country except invade their neighbors once every 5 years.
And play hockey.
And I don't even think they do that anymore. You know, it's like they're just, what a fucking horrible existence it must be to be in Russia.
Yeah, we watched all those clips today. This is actually hilarious, but like one guy got out of his car in shorts. The car's moving like 40, 50 miles an hour. Gets out, gets on the top. He's like windsurfing.
I don't know if we could put it up. Phil, give it a shot. Maybe.
Try and get it on.
Maybe. All right. Okay. But so.
And making a bear do the hula hoop.
Yeah, fantastic.
And another bear playing a horn.
Nice. Nice.
It's the stupidest stuff I've ever seen.
But that's what happens, right? But in these repressive countries, it's always a lack of freedom of speech. In Russia, even now, you know, they have, like, the reason the Pussy Riot is in jail, we keep saying it, is because they're not allowed to play their horrible music wherever they want.
Yeah.
Don't they realize that if they just let them play, nobody would fucking pay to listen to them? They're horrible. These broads are horrible.
The Pussy Riot and their professional wrestling Mexican masks.
Yeah, their Lucha Libre masks. But my point is, I've never understood, again, because you don't learn from history. These movements gain more steam when you try to censor them.
Yeah, when you
let
try
them
to squash
fucking
them.
Talk. Right. Let them fucking talk.
But it even goes beyond in a lot of countries, even just the freedom of speech. You don't even have like freedom of association. Like even in Russia right now.
Well, we don't in this country either.
In Russia right now, if you have a protest, you ready for this? This is true. Of more than two people, the police will just come and arrest you. You can't have two people. The Pussy Riot special that was on HBO. They show these two people trying to protest from the cops came, two people.
Yeah.
Like one guy, they said, go down there, the other way. And then they had the same problem. Remember I told you that the special I watched with, they have this problem in Russia where groups of guys will try to lure a homosexual to some place. And then when he shows up, they beat the shit out of him.
Which is cool.
And then they tried to get a protest going on that. Same thing. They had like two or three people. All of a sudden, the cops show up with that stupid hat that they were, and they came right out and he goes, like, you can see him in Russian. He's like, no, no, no. You know, he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, like, move along. Three people with signs. And, you know.
Yeah, and that's why when we start yelling about freedom of association, freedom of speech, that when someone says, like, don't use the word thug anymore, because you really mean N-word, which really means nigger, then that is a lack of freedom of speech. When someone says you have to force someone to bake a gay couple's wedding cake, or you have to force a black barbecue joint owner to serve a Klansman, all right? These are violating the freedoms of association that we all need to enjoy as part of the First Amendment and the freedom of speech, okay? An asshole is an asshole. Look at me. Nobody pays attention to me, right, Larry?
Huh?
What? What? Anyway, so my point being is freedom of speech is what separates us from the savages. Truly, I believe that. So we have to be able to maintain that freedom of speech, okay? So on that note, Larry, is there anything else we missed? We got a lot of papers here in front of us. Michael Moore,
Baltimore
riots, George Soros. We got everybody. Larry Flint.
Affleck.
Well, here's a good one for you.
What's that? Let's end on this one.
We're going to end on this. Proponents of pro-choice, I'm pro-choice, but I do not participate in this. They recently had the National Abortion Access Bowl-a-thon.
Nice.
And this was covered because a CNN reporter named Sally Cohn, she was
also writes for Slate, I believe.
She now this is funny. She wants to raise $2,000 for abortion funding, And what they found out was that she had only so far raised $110.
Yeah.
But $100 of it came from her.
Yeah.
So she only had a $10 donation.
By the way, do yourself a favor. Go read Sally Cohn. She is like a liberal feminist twat.
Yeah. Okay. And her the expression that they're using, that their statement was, we're going balls out for abortion funds.
Yeah.
Now, look, I happen to be pro-choice. John's not, but I am. But you know what? Bowling for it and everything. To me, it kind of, not only does it like trivialize it, that's not a good way to raise a lot of money.
Well, their problem was that they didn't do it the right way. Now, had they bowled aborted fetuses down the lane, that might have raised some dollars with these crazy feminists. Who knows? Maybe they could have gotten some chicks, Larry, that have really big, stinky vaginas to just shoot bowling balls out their pussies. Like those Vietnamese chicks do with ping pong balls. But you need chicks with big, vacuous pussies to do something like that.
I don't know,
maybe like her?
Oh, wow.
Or perhaps even her? Now, allegedly. That's all alleged, of course, because I don't know if Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi have large pussies.
I was at a bachelor party where women who look like that were shooting
them. That's what it sounds like. The part is shooting out of the pussy, and the woo is when it hits you in your eye.
But, yeah, so they had their bowl-a-thon, and but I thought how little money she made was just, it was pathetic. I mean, you would assume that she would have raised some money, but, yeah, Sally Cohn, good luck.
Yes. Sally Cohn, good luck. Anyway, here we go. Towards the end of the show, Phil is frantically waving that we're coming up on the one-hour mark. Phil, what do we got?
About 5 minutes.
5 minutes, Phil? Okay. See, we decided to give Phil a voice. I don't know if the mic is working clear and if you guys can hear him or not, but now Phil feels empowered.
Yes.
Empowered.
After his reality being questioned by so many viewers.
There's so many of you assholes out there that don't give poor Phil the benefit of existence, even. Anyway. All right, Juno Larian, what do you think?
I think that's enough.
That's enough? All right.
So, a very serious show.
Oh, by the way.
But what's going on in Baltimore is serious.
That's very serious. What is also serious is the Avengers movie.
Oh.
Open to huge box office. He doesn't like superhero movies. Mm. I love them, especially Marvel superhero movies. So Avengers, Age of Ultron, doing well. They think it might break all sorts of records. In remembrance of that, we'll put something up for them. But right now, let's put up this. Titties. Until next week, when it'll be once again time for the riot, this is Big Fat John.
And Juno Larian.
Whoosh. See you next week. Peace.
Peace, baby.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Juno Larian. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice. Are 16-year-old girls legal in Tennessee? Just asking for a friend.